Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Fan headlines right now. The NHL expansion draft is happening on ESPN2. And if you go to ESPN.com, you wouldn't know who was being picked except the announced names. If you'd go almost anywhere else on the internet, you'd find every single pick. Like, magically, I don't even know if they put his name up there yet. The Penguins will have Brandon Tanev selected in this thing. That's how it works. More fan headlines like that. Also, the Pirates lost today 6-4, and Vince Williams retired from the NFL. So we have a lot that's happened today. More fan headlines like that at 93.7thefan.com. I just want everybody to know, I've been talking about the new video stream here. We've got HD cameras. You go to 93.7thefan.com. You go to the shows tab. You go to 93.7thefan live video. And you get, like, crystal clear HD of my chair where I sit, the other chair where I normally sit on the PM team, and then a crystal clear wide shot of the whole studio. I want everybody to know that at least for the rest of this week, I will not be caught picking my nose on this camera, because it's all I've been thinking about when that camera goes on, or, you know, comes back to me. And I'm on it all the time. So if I want to go somewhere else in a break, then I'm off the camera. But I am thinking about the nose-picking thing constantly. Anywho, Paul Zeiss Show, which is the one that I'm currently performing, is brought to you by Archie's on the South Side, the official chicken wing of the Fan. Very pleased to welcome in John Parrotto. You can read his work covering America's pastime at many different outlets, among those USA Today. He's all over the place, and we love talking to him because he's got big opinions and big analysis. John, how are you tonight?
Doing well, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. I'm laughing at this NHL expansion draft. The draft I'm not laughing at is the one Ben Cherington had, because Bubba Chandler inking today. Another, it seems like, feather in the cap, another coup for Ben Cherington here. How would you grade so far his – I know that the draft just happened. How would you grade his tenure so far since he took over the job in, what, November of 2019, before the world basically came to a grinding halt 3 months later?
Well, I mean, if you obviously, in this situation, Chris, you can't grade the on-field product, because that's not where their focus is now. They're focusing more long-term, building the farm system, you know, just making the organization better. So, you know, excluding the on-field, I give him a solid B. I think he's done a good job. He's, you know, brought in some young talent, and I know a lot of it hasn't come to Pittsburgh yet, and that gets a little frustrating for the fans, understandably so. It's like they want to see these guys now. They want to see the fruits of Cherington's labor now. But their farm system is considerably improved. They have a lot more high-end talent. You know, in the draft, he decided to take the approach of going with the catcher from Louisville, Henry Davis, and taking money they saved on Davis, almost $2 million, and putting it toward other high-end talent prospects. And I don't have a problem with that, because nobody I've talked to in baseball feel that Davis was a great reach by any stretch at number one. In fact, there were some other teams that also had him as number one on their board, regardless of what his signing bonus would have been. So, you know, so far, so good. I mean, he took over an organization that sadly had kind of gone downhill quite a bit in his last couple of years with Neil Huntington in charge. And, you know, he's tried to build it back up. But unfortunately, this is a real long game, and it's going to take a few years before you see the fruition at the big league level.
John, it's kind of a labyrinthine thing to explain, so I'm just going to do it as cleanly as I can, how the Pirates' money left over to work with here works. From their own site, they have about $1.5 million to work with. This is per, I think, a Jonathan Mayo article. Or no, I'm sorry, Jake Krause, who covers the team for MLB.com. $1.5 million to work with without to spend to sign three other high school players, Lonnie White Jr., Owen Kellington, Braylon Bishop, without incurring any penalties for going over that amount. What are you hearing about the likelihood that they're able to get all three of those guys, or are you hearing that it's not going to be all three, that it's going to be some number two or one of those three names I just gave you?
Yeah, it's going to be hard to get all three, Chris, unless somebody really agrees to a small bonus, and I don't think any of the three will. So I think it comes down, maybe you throw all $1.5 million at Lonnie White and hope he signs. And if not, then you spread it over the other two kids. But it's going to be really hard to draft, or I should say to sign all three. And that's not surprising, because usually you never sign everybody in a draft class. It's very, very rare when that happens. I think obviously like Lonnie White, he's the outstanding prospect, also a football recruit going to Penn State. But he's not a football player who plays baseball in the offseason. I mean, he is a very legitimate high-ranked baseball prospect too. So I would say it would seem to me, from what I've been hearing and everything, they'd like to sign Lonnie White. But if they can't sign him, then they're going to try to spread that $1.5 million over the other two.
John, what are you hearing about Bubba Chandler insofar as everything I've heard is they're going to give him a legitimate shot to hit and see what he can do? But that was the big coup today, getting him brought in. It seems like of the three guys they picked after Davis, he had that most sort of that mystique surrounding him. The way people talked about him was kind of in odd terms, and he got a higher bonus than Solomato did to sign. What are you hearing as far as Chandler, the prospect, whether people are more bullish on him as a position player and a hitter or a pitcher?
Well, it's kind of split, and I hate to give a wishy-washy answer, but it kind of depends on what scout you talk to that saw him. But I would say if there's a lean, it's more toward hitting. Scouts think he's going to be hit enough to be a player in the major leagues. But, you know, the great thing about when you draft a guy that can do both like this, if he fails at one, you can always try him in the other side. So that gives you two shots to develop a very talented player. So
right.
That's certainly makes him attractive. I think hitting is going to be the way they're going to look at him first, but I would not be surprised if he winds up being a pitcher too. And, you know, he got a high bonus, and of course having that scholarship to play quarterback at Clemson in his back pocket certainly helped his leverage.
John, I know you're kind of keeping track of baseball at large, not just the Pirates. What do you think? Do you feel like because Shohei Ohtani, and I know there's only one of him, he's 101, but because he's actually having real success doing both, more as a hitter, but the pitching has certainly not been a slouch department for him whatsoever, do you feel like more teams are maybe going to think longer about trying to give guys a chance to be two-way players?
Yeah, I think it's opened the door for teams to at least be more open to it. I don't know how many people are going to be able to do it because it's such an impossibly difficult thing to do. But you look, there's a few guys in the minor leagues, unfortunately. Brendan McKay, a kid from Beaver County, went to Blackhawk High School, then was the National Player of the Year 2 years at Louisville in college. He was doing both with the Rays, and he blew his shoulder out last year, and he's just coming back from surgery now, and he's just pitching at this point. But that's somebody who legitimately had a chance. In fact, he did it at the big league level very briefly. He started a couple of games 2 years ago and DH'd in another game. So, you know, that's a guy for certain. And I think, you know, it's like any other sport. If somebody has success, other teams want to copy it. And if a team thinks they can find another Ohtani or even somebody that's just competent in both hitting and pitching, I think certainly they'll give it a try, and I think that they're more open to it after seeing that it can be done at the big league level.
All right, John, here's a little clip for you from John Heyman. We're talking to John Parrotto, of course, right now on 93.7 The Fan, talking Pirates. This is a little clip from John Heyman, and I think you'll know what part of it really struck me as baffling when I played. It's just a couple seconds. Here's what he had to say about Adam Frazier.
Frazier, he's got a year to go, but he's having a career year. He's been in the block forever, so I'm going to say 90% or more that he goes.
Where did 100% he's going go on that one. 90. I know you have to hedge that maybe there's an infinitesimal chance that they don't trade him, but I took it as gospel that Adam Frazier was as good as gone.
Here's the only scenario that I see playing out that where he could stay at least through the season is the Cubs have Javier Baez on the trading block, and I know Baez has played shortstop exclusively for the last few years, but he also has a lot of experience at second base, and that makes him attractive to teams that don't necessarily are looking for a shortstop but could use someone at second base, like the White Sox, who have been, you know, certainly linked to the Frazier for well over a month now. And also Detroit has Jonathan Scope on the block, and Scope is not as good defensively as Frazier, but he is more of a power hitter. So I would think the one thing that may hurt the Pirates a little is if there isn't a market for enough of these second basemen, maybe they don't get what they think they were going to get for Frazier, hold on to him, and then trade him in the offseason. But again, I would say I'd be surprised if he were still here on July 31st. But I do, like John Heyman said, I think there is at least a slight possibility that the Pirates could just hold on to him if they don't feel they get a fair deal and try to trade him in the winter.
John, what in your mind would constitute a fair deal, like a decent, you know, an acceptable return for Adam Frazier? Obviously, we're talking in principle here because nobody knows how some of these guys are going to end up turning out unless you trade them for an established major leaguer, which isn't happening. But what's an acceptable return in your mind?
I would say most likely, and I'll preface this by saying it only takes one team to really overpay for a good trade to happen. I know a lot of fans got upset about this a few weeks back, but he's not going to get the Pirates this huge haul of like two top 100 prospects or two can't-miss absolutely guys that are going to be star players. He's had a really good year this year, but you look at his career, he's a very ordinary or slightly above ordinary player, and I don't think a lot of other teams view him as a star player, and thus they're not going to give up like two very frontline prospects. They'll get one frontline prospect for him and probably a guy, a mid-tier prospect, maybe a younger guy who has a chance to really develop and turn out to be better than teams currently project. But again, I know the fans get upset about this, but they're not going to get a bundle for Frazier. We'll get a good return, but not just one that makes your jaw drop.
John, what do you think that they can get for other guys who might be on the block on this roster, and who are the guys that you think are definitely going to get dealt from the Pirates, besides Frazier, assuming he does, of course, get dealt?
I think Richard Rodriguez is certainly a guy that they could get something back similar to Frazier, because so many teams need relief pitching. There's a lot more teams that need a reliever than the second baseman, so I would think there's going to be a lot more teams vying to get him, even though there have been red flags. His spin rates have gone down in the last month since baseball has cracked down on using foreign substances on the ball. And I know the Royals accused Rodriguez early in the season when they were here of doctoring the ball, and it makes you wonder now with the way his numbers have gone down if that is indeed the case. And that could hurt his trade value a little bit. And I think Tyler Anderson, because, he has had a nice, solid season for the Pirates as a low-level bargain signing as a free agent. And teams always like to have lefties in the rotation, and I think pretty much every contending team could use at least some starting pitching depth. So I think, they may get a little something for him, too. I think those three for sure. And another name I keep hearing more and more in the last few days is Chris Stratton, who's had two really good years back-to-back for the Pirates and certainly would be a good depth piece for a lot of teams' bullpens as well.
John, I want to circle back to wrap things up here with you. I want to circle back to the answer you gave me to basically the first question I asked. You said you'd give Ben Cherington a B so far, and that takes out the things that have happened on the field because you can't possibly grade the guy on what the team on the field looks like. What is it about so far, Ben Cherington's tenure, that would preclude you giving him an A if the on-the-field stuff doesn't get considered?
Well, I guess it is the on-the-field to an extent. I just thought they would be a little more competitive. But I didn't think he got much for Josh Bell. That's probably the one that I ding him for a little bit. I think it's fairly obvious Will Crow is not a big league starting pitcher off what we've seen in 12 or 13 starts this year. And the other kid, Eddie Yean, he's already been moved to the bullpen in the minor leagues. So he didn't get much back for Bell, but then again, he traded him at a position of weakness when Bell wasn't coming off a good year. I just wonder if maybe he'd have been better served to hold on to Bell and hope he had a good first half this year and got more for him here at the deadline. But that's where it kind of dings him more than anything. But other than that, I think his other moves have been good. I know Starling Marte, that trade, he took some heat from the fans because he got two guys in the lower levels of the minors, but they both look like they're going to be good prospects and potentially impact players in the big leagues. And, yeah, that was the only one. I thought the Bell trade was a little light in the return for a guy who was not far removed from an all-star season and is a power-hitting, switch-hitting first baseman.
He's John Parrotto. You can read his work in a variety of places and follow him on Twitter at Jay Parrotto. John, it's always a distinct pleasure to talk baseball with you. Thanks, man.
Oh, my pleasure, Chris. It's always good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Love talking with John Parrotto. He shoots it straight. Not going to get the Pirates, Adam Frazier, in a deal. A huge haul of like two top 100 guys. It'll be a frontline prospect, a good top 100 guy, and a younger developmental guy as well. I would live with that because I actually agree with the evaluation that John gave that other teams probably have. A guy having a career year that other teams are going to be real leery of giving up more than that one top 100 guy for. You get it for a rental because there's probably 17 buyers in Major League Baseball, I think I was reading earlier today. Against that backdrop, even with other second base types or middle infielders on the block, you still should be able, just as a pure rental, to get somebody to be willing to give up a good player to get, you know, a season and a half of Adam Frazier, a truly good prospect. Because teams want to win. If Adam Frazier puts a team over the top because he's constantly getting on base, he's raking doubles, that's worth it for that team, I would think. Here's something you can do. Listen to Cook and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Coming up next, Juju Smith-Schuster has a new sponsor. I got to be honest. The old jaw is on the floor at this one. I heard it on the PM team today. I heard them make mention of it, and it was one of those things you go, is somebody playing a trick on me? I think we have to talk about this. In fact, I know we do, and we're going to do that coming up next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.